Shrinvanti. They hear. Katayanti. They chant. Cha. And. Tapanti. Inflict suffering. Vivitaha. Various. Tapaha. The material miseries. Na. Do not. Etan. Unto them. Matgata. Fixed on me. Chetasaha. Their thoughts. Engaged constantly in chanting and hearing about me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the sadhus do not suffer from material miseries because they are always filled with thoughts of my pastimes and activities. Purport. There are multifarious miseries in material existence. Those pertaining to the body and the mind, those imposed by other living entities, and those imposed by natural disturbances. But a sadhu is not disturbed by such miserable conditions because his mind is always filled with Krishna consciousness. And thus, he does not like to talk about anything but the activities of the Lord. Maharaj Ambarish did not speak of anything but the pastimes of the Lord. Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunanuvarnane. Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th Canto, 4:18. He engaged his words only in glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sadhus are always interested in hearing about the activities of the Lord or his devotees. Since they are filled with Krishna consciousness, they are forgetful of the material miseries. Ordinary conditioned souls, being forgetful of the activities of the Lord, are always full of anxieties and material tribulations. On the other hand, since the devotees always engage in the topics of the Lord, they are forgetful of the miseries of material existence. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kodamayam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamstra. He Krishna Korana Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshako Patarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vas Adigaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Madashraya Katha Mrishta, Shrinvanti Katayanti Cha, Tapanti Vividhas Tapa, Naitan Madgata Chetasaha. In the Bhagavad Gita also, Machchitta Madgata Prana Bodhyanta Puraspanam Katyantascha Mam Nityam Tushyanticha Ramanticha. The devotees are always enjoying. They're getting happiness and satisfaction. How? By chanting about Krishna and thinking about Krishna and surrendering to Krishna. Machchitta means always thinking of Krishna. Krishna means Krishna's names, qualities, activities, abode, associates, instructions, everything connected with Krishna. This is machchitta. Machchitta, madgata prana, and lives dedicated to Krishna. What is the use of dedicating this life for sense gratification? Kamasya nendriya pritir labo jiveta yavata jivasya tatva jigyasa nartoyas cheha karma pi. For sense gratification, we've already been through so many lives in 8,400,000 different species. Now we've got this human life, durlabham manava janma, tadapi ajuvam artadam. From this life we can get so much benefit which is not available elsewhere. The brahmajigyasa, spiritual inquiry, is not available in the other species. So this is the opportunity, the human form of life, and why should it be wasted for the same business as the cats and dogs? That's called miserly. So the Nayam Deho Deha Bhajam Raloke, Rishabhdev also instructed his sons that why spend this human life for the business of the stool-eating hogs? The hogs are getting sense gratification and the human beings are getting sense gratification. But it's the same business. The hogs are eating stool, we're eating Big Macs. But eating is eating. The human beings are making big dramas about sex life and every possible configuration of sex enjoyment. But the little tiny mosquitoes are doing the same thing. And it's a big deal for them also. The same business, sex life. So why should the human being spend his life for the same kind of happiness which is available as a dog, as a cat, as a pig, as a mosquito? The human life has greater intelligence. So it's meant for spiritual realization. And spiritual realization culminates in Krishna consciousness. Those who are pursuing spiritual realization, to understand that I'm not this body, to understand that I'm spirit soul, to understand that material existence is not the be-all and end-all of existence, they're the beginners in spiritual life, which is good. One should begin. But those who have dedicated themselves to Krishna are the graduates in spiritual life. Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavan mam prapadyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. One may spend many, many, many births in pursuit of knowledge. One is called a jnani, one who's looking for knowledge. But jnanavan, when one actually has knowledge, mam prapadyate, surrenders to Krishna. Why? Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Krishna is everything. He's Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagavan. He's everything. Beyond Krishna, there's nothing else. So the graduate in spiritual understanding surrenders to Krishna. In the beginning, one may have some impersonal conception. But as one gets deeper understanding, one realizes the personality of Godhead. Even the great perfected impersonalists also become attracted to Krishna. Atmaramas Jamuniyo. The Kumaras were perfect in impersonal realization. But by smelling the tulsi offered at the lotus feet of the Lord, they got a higher inspiration and they became personal devotees. Shukadev Goswami also was of the impersonal bent before hearing the pastimes of Krishna. But when he heard these pastimes, he became dedicated to the personality of Godhead. Not as a matter of sentiment, but out of factual understanding that this personality of Godhead is the ultimate feature of transcendence, the ultimate feature of the absolute truth, the ultimate reality, the ultimate source of everything. Janmadyasyayata. So therefore the target is Krishna. He is the source of all the demigods, aham adir hi devanam. He is the source of all the material elements, bhumir apo nalo vayu. He is the source of the spirit soul himself, our source. Therefore, our relationship ultimately is with Krishna. Now we're forming temporary relationships with matter, and we're hearing about matter. We're very eager to hear about this president and that car crash and this bombing and that, so many things. Rinam Santi Sahasrasaha. There are thousands and thousands, unlimited thousands of topics to hear about in relationship to this dull material world. Every day, LA Times, so much. But those topics are not enlivening to the soul. It's not that after reading the LA Times for 1 month or 1 year or for your whole life, you become a self-realized soul or you advance in spiritual realization. It's not that after you put down your cup of coffee and your LA Times in the morning, you say, oh, I feel so much enlivened. My heart feels so purified or cleansed. No. Another day, more junk, that's all. Because it's all in relationship to that which has no substance. Maya means that which has no substance in reality. Yatha bhasham yatha tamaha. It appears to be very substantial, but it is not substantial. And you can give it all a miss and not miss anything. But Krishna is the ultimate substance. Even the Maya is the shadow of Krishna. The shadow of Krishna is so attractive that the whole world is running around chasing that shadow. Then how attractive is the substance? Therefore, Krishna is called all attractive. And by hearing about Krishna, our natural attraction for Krishna is revived, stimulated. And mrishta, these topics are delightful. The topics about Krishna, it's said, Satam prasangat mama virya sambhado bhavanti hritkarna rasayanakata. I think it comes in a few verses. Hritkarna rasayanakata. This is nectar for the heart and for the ear. So, Madashraya Katha Mishta, Shrinvatam Swakata Krishna, the sadhus, Satatam Kirtiyanto Ma, they're always chanting about Krishna. Bodhyanta Parasparam. Bodhyanta Parasparam means among themselves they enlighten one another about Krishna. Just as materialists get together and they talk about the stock market or they swap dirty stories or whatever it is that they have in mind according to their modes of nature. The transcendentalists get together and they talk about Krishna. Scientists get together and they talk about their discoveries. Well, the devotees get together and they talk about Krishna. Bodhyanta paraspuram. Katyantascha mam nityam. Nitya means always talking about Krishna. And nityam also means regularly talking about Krishna. The neophyte devotees are required by the order of the spiritual master to hear regularly the topics of Krishna. You spend at least some hour a day hearing something, attend the class, hear about Krishna. Because this will have a medicinal effect. This will be purifying for the diseased heart. But those who are advanced, they love to hear about Krishna. They love to talk with one another about Krishna. The six Goshamis of Vrindavan, this was their business. They would gather together every day and they would talk about Krishna. It wasn't, okay, it's 6 o'clock, we got to get together, and are you going to be there, Jiva? No, they were in ecstasy, talking about Krishna, talking about Srimad Bhagavatam, discovering newer and newer realizations within every verse, within every word. They were enjoying. This is because Krishna and Krishna's sound vibration are non-different. We were hearing yesterday evening about Haridas Thakur. He was not attracted by this prostitute or that prostitute because he was enjoying. He was getting transcendental pleasure by hearing about Krishna and chanting the holy name of Krishna. Tapanti vividhastha pa. Tapanti means giving trouble. Giving trouble. The material world is set up in such a way that it must give trouble. It must give trouble. Adhyatmik trouble, adhidaivik, or adhibhautik trouble. Adhyatmik means, or adhibhautik means, in relationship to other living entities. Now it's flu season, everyone's being troubled, so many, by this flu. Or it's war is on, so one set of human beings is giving trouble to another set of human beings. Tax collectors, there are so many. One living being is giving trouble to other living beings. This is called adhibhautik klesha, adhibhautik misery. And adhidaivik misery means that nature is giving us trouble. Earthquakes, too much heat, too much cold, too much rain, not enough rain. So many difficulties caused by nature herself. And adhyatmik trouble, the body gives so much difficulty. Every part of the body is capable of giving pain. You can have skin disease. You can break your leg. You can break your wrist. You can break your back. You can break your ankle. You can break your any bone. Name it, you can break it. Name an organ. You can have heart problems. You can have lung problems. You can have prostate problems. You can have liver problems. You can have kidney problems. You can have eye problems. You can have ear problems. You can have nose and throat problems. Every bit of the body is capable of giving a problem. And if the body is not giving us trouble, then the mind is giving us trouble. I have a disciple who works for a very large pharmaceutical company. And they're always trying to research, as such companies are, to find the next hot drug, the next pharmaceutical product that will really reach out and hit the market. So what are they putting the largest part of their research effort into? Antidepressants. Because the wealthiest, most prosperous, most well-endowed, most full of toys nation in the world is depressed. I've forgotten the number now. It's like 3 out of 7 American adults are clinically depressed. and the rest are unofficial. So the body, the mind, other living entities, nature, they're all giving us trouble in so many ways. Either all three at once, two at once, at least one. But tapanti vividha, vividha means various kinds of miseries. Tapanti vividha tapa, na etan madgata chetasa. These don't affect the person whose mind is fixed on Krishna. Even materially, when your mind is fixed on something else, then you may not notice miseries. Ever have the experience of working and getting a paper cut and not finding out about it until after you finished your work? You're busy and you get a paper cut or some kind of cut. And when you finish your business, then you notice, ooh, I cut myself. As long as your mind was busy in something, it had no space for worrying about that pain. And when the mind was free, unoccupied, then, oh, I cut myself. It's an ordinary example. More extraordinary example Prabhupada gives that Joseph Stalin underwent surgery without anesthesia. It's possible, materially. You put your mind somewhere else, and this misery you can forget about. Materially, it's possible. But just putting your mind somewhere else is not particularly useful beyond getting past some particular pain. If you imagine, if you visualize some beautiful place with a flowing brook and birds chirping and all of that, and you let your mind go there, well, that's lovely, but it's imagination. It has no substance in reality. It's a mental concoction. It may be temporarily useful, but it's permanently useless. But madgata chetasa, those who fix their minds on Krishna, satyam param dhimahi, they're focusing their minds on the absolute reality. The mind is material, but they're pointing the mind toward the spiritual substance. Their mind, they engage their bodies for that spiritual truth. Chanting means to engage the body, the tongue. Sevan mukhehi jivado. They engage their tongue and then they engage their other senses. The ear, the eyes, see the form of Krishna. Although the body and mind are material, the devotee engages them in the service of Krishna. And madgata prana, he gives his whole life to Krishna. Our body, mind, words, money, life, everything. And because everything is given to Krishna, the Supreme Absolute Truth, one goes to Krishna. Ananya cheta satatam yo mam smarati nityashaha tasyaham sulabha partha nityuktasya yogina. Krishna says that for one who is always engaged in thinking of me, ananya cheta means chetasa ananya gamina, not thinking of this, that, and the other thing, just thinking of Krishna. Satatam, always. Yomam smarati nityashaha. Always, again, nityashaha. Always thinking of Krishna. For such a person, sulabha partha. Oh, partha, Arjuna, I'm easy to obtain. Sulabha. Why? Nitya yuktasya yogina. Again, nitya yuktasya. He's always engaged. Now, the business of the devotee of Krishna is to be always engaged. Always chanting Hare Krishna, or hearing about Krishna, preaching about Krishna, doing some practical work for Krishna. Always Krishna's business. And in that way, because he's engaged always for Krishna, mameti, he comes to Krishna. the person who's simply imagining things, and everyone is imagining things. We're imagining that this material world is substantial, and it's disappearing at every moment. We're imagining material happiness, and it's not to be had. At the end, everything is lost, and in the middle, it's not what we think it's going to be. In the beginning, we have a beautiful picture of material happiness, and we start chasing it, and it turns into emptiness or worse. But satyam param dhimahi, the happiness of the devotees, is permanent, not dependent, independent of material circumstances. Transcendentally enlivening, and unlimited in its personal features. It's not simply some impersonal, flowing, drifting, but Krishna consciousness means to revive one's personal relationship with Krishna. As there are loving dealings in this material world, which are supposed to be satisfying, but which are, again, disappointing and finally finished. So the actual relationships of which these are a reflection are found in our eternal relationship with Krishna. So that relationship is revived by hearing, by chanting, and when we revive that relationship, we can forget all about the miseries of the material world. The materialists forget all about Krishna because they're so wrapped up in the material world and trying to exploit its resources. But the devotee becomes wrapped up in Krishna and he forgets about this material world. Well, this is our business. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments? Sir. Was he thinking of Krishna?
In Sanskrit, in Bengali, in English, how?
Was his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, thinking of Krishna in Sanskrit, or Bengali, or English, or all three? And sometimes Hindi also. Just saw that some of our devotees here in Los Angeles, they may speak Hindi and English or Spanish and English. So sometimes they talk about Krishna in English, sometimes Spanish, sometimes Hindi. So speaking means thinking.
I say that because I was born speaking Spanish, but over the course of time, my Hindi has become English.
Right. Sometimes Spanish speakers who spend time in America, sometimes they... After some time, you start to think in English. So you have options. This is nice. Those who only know one language are limited. They can only think of Krishna in that one language. If you know two languages, you can think of Krishna in two languages. If you know five, some of our devotees know five languages, so you can think of Krishna in five languages. You have your choice. So, but somehow or other, think of Krishna. Then it's the perfection of whichever language it is. Perfection of Spanish is pensar sobre Krishna en español. And perfection of English is to think of Krishna in English. Perfection of Hindi, same thing. Something else? Yes. What do we mean by substance in Krishna consciousness? Substance in Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedyam Vastavam Atravastu Shivadam. It said that this book is meant to distinguish between substance and illusion. Substance means that which is permanently existing. And illusion means that which appears to be substantial, but which is not, which is a kind of reflection of the substance. Just like take a mirage. An animal sees water out in the desert, and it appears absolutely real. So much so that the animal goes off into the desert to get water. So why does he think there's water in the desert? Because he knows there's such a thing as water. But under illusion, he mistakenly thinks that what he's seeing in the desert is water, when actually it's just some phenomena created by atmospheric circumstances. There's no substance there. When he goes for the water, he wanders off into the desert and dies because there's no water. Water is someplace else. There has to be water, or he wouldn't be dreaming of water over here. So the actual water is the substance, and the mirage is the illusion. So this material world is insubstantial. Just like this body. You know, people are, even the governor of California, you know, he's got such a fantastic body. But it's not substantial. It won't last. Substantial means permanent. It won't last. Not only to pick on him, but anyone. I'm thinking my body is very good looking, my body is very strong, or my body is very white or very black or very this or very that. Whatever it is, it's great. But what is this body? Finally, it becomes ashes or earth or stool. The Hindus burn the body, it becomes ashes. The Christians bury the body, it becomes earth. Parsis throw it to the vultures. It becomes vulture stool. So I'm putting all of my bets on this body, all of my investment in this body. But the body is meant to be ashes, earth, or stool. What am I investing in? I'm thinking that it's very substantial. I'm thinking that this body is myself. But the body is external to myself. When consciousness leaves the body is a corpse. It's nothing. They take, you know, stacks of them and bulldoze them someplace. Iraq. The body has no substantial value. But I'm acting as if it were the most substantial thing in the world. And the thing which is actually substantial, the thing which animates the body, the thing which gives life to the body, consciousness to the body, that I'm neglecting. I'll pay, you know, $80 or whatever it is to study Tai Chi or something, focusing on this body or the mind. But for spiritual realization, I'm too busy. Even the big executives, they have time to, you know, walk treadmills and all of that stuff. But for spiritual realization, very busy, no time. So they're investing in that which is of no real substance. And the substantial thing, they're neglecting. This material, whole material world is meant to be destroyed after some time. Nothing lasts here. Empires come and go. It's all no substance. The Roman Empire, it's just history. It's just a dream. The Byzantine Empire, the Greek Empire, the Ottoman Empire, the British Empire. The American Empire will also be like that. So we're very much concerned with that which has no substance. Substance, according to Vedic analysis, means permanent existence. A dream has all the features of reality. You're there, things are happening, tiger's chasing you, whatever it is. But in 2 minutes, it's over. So it has no substantial existence. We say that our waking life has substance. You know, when you wake up for your dream, then you get up and do real things. But according to the Vedic calculation, what we get up and do when we're awake is also just another dream. There's a sleeping dream and then there's the waking dream. The sleeping dream lasts 2 minutes and the waking dream lasts 2 years or 20 years, but it'll be finished. Therefore, they're equally unsubstantial. Substance means permanent. Does that help? Anything else?
You were mentioning antidepressants. I often thought about that because I've heard so many people take them in America. And I was thinking that if someone is meant to be depressed, then they're going to go with some simple reaction for their behavior, because that's depression is bad karma. So if they take an antidepressant and then that way they avoid that bad karma, then they still have to suffer. It's like a little intoxicant.
Antidepressants, according to your karma, you become depressed. Then you take some antidepressant and you become a little peppy, perked up. It's not purification. It's just chemical jugglery. You know, stimulate, you produce some endorphins here or some hormones there and everything changes. Your life becomes wonderful. Yeah, depression is useful, just like Arjuna, in the Bhagavad Gita, he became depressed. Why did he become depressed? Because the world is depressing, particularly his world. He was facing his all relatives and friends on the battlefield, so naturally he was depressed. I have to fight against all these people. It's not... What's the meaning of it? What's the use of it? Why should I do it? So by good fortune, actually, these material miseries are meant to be instructive. An intelligent person wakes up and says, why am I miserable? He looks at the world and says, the world is depressing. Life is depressing. My relationships are depressing. My work is depressing. Everything is depressing. And then he goes to some highly credentialed idiot who says, no, it's not depressing at all. It's really, there's a lot to live for. But Krishna says it is depressing. Old age is depressing. Old age homes are not places where people go and take their kids for a happy picnic for the weekend. It's depressing. All these people who used to have great capabilities and strength and mental acumen and intelligence and drive and verve and all of that, sitting rotting like vegetables and, you know, waiting for the ambulance to come. It's depressing. Old age is depressing. Disease is depressing. When we're afflicted by some disease, we can't work, we can't play, we can't do anything. We become depressed. What is that? Dialysis. People who have to be hooked up to machines to recirculate their blood, recycle it and clean it out because their kidneys don't work. Kidney or liver, whichever it is. Kidneys. Then they become, what's the big problem? They become depressed. I'm living by the grace of this machine. I have to spend so many hours in a week hooked up to this machine. It's depressing, these diseases. Old age is depressing. Disease is depressing. Death is depressing. The material world is, sorry to be pessimistic, but it's depressing. So the intelligent person deals with it. He takes ownership of the problem. He looks at it and says, why is it depressing? Am I meant to be in this miserable circumstance? Why am I here? What am I meant to do about it? And one answer is, well, take these little pills and you'll feel better. And most of America has got that solution. Take some of these and then take some of those, and then when it goes too far this way, balance it off with this and add a few of these. Two green ones and some pink ones and some yellow ones. And you'll feel fine. But that's not the answer recommended in the Vedic literature. The Vedic wisdom recommends that one should get to the source of the problems, which is that I've forgotten my eternal identity as spirit soul. I've forgotten my eternal relationship with Krishna. I'm imagining that material things will give me happiness when they won't. I have false expectations. My eternal consciousness is sleeping, and I'm absorbed in false consciousness, and therefore I'm depressed. So when I come to my real consciousness, tamasi ma, tama means darkness, tama means ignorance, and in Bhagavad Gita, the symptom of ignorance is depression. In the mode of ignorance, one becomes depressed. In the mode of passion, one becomes enlivened by thoughts of enjoyment which prove false. And in the mode of goodness, one is a little even-minded. But on the transcendental platform, one gets beyond all the darkness of this material existence. So naturally, he's not only free from depression, he's free from depression, he's freed from false exhilaration, he's freed from false passion for accomplishment of something which has no meaning. He's freed even from a false sense of complacency. Nature is very nice. I'm content with myself. The world is fine. I love everyone. He's free from even that. He becomes enlivened in his real identity. Mukta Sangasya Jayate. Well, this comes about by chanting Hare Krishna and reviving our Krishna consciousness. Okay. Yeah? How are we to understand that devotees are sometimes disturbed by management problems or pains in the neck of that nature? Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that when one accepts trouble in the service of Krishna, that trouble is actually ecstasy. The nature of spiritual happiness is not just that you've got like a big smile painted on your face, that you're like one of those yellow buttons with black eyes and a little curve there for a smile. Kind of a mindless bliss. It never wears off. It's more rich than that. There's anxiety. There's trouble. There are all sorts. There's the full range of material emotions, but elevated, or rather in their pure form. What we experience here is fear, anxiety, and so on. Exist in the spiritual world, but in the spiritual world, they're all varieties of bliss. In the material world, anxiety is just anxiety. But in the spiritual world, anxiety is another form of happiness. The Mother Yashoda, the gopis, they're in anxiety over Krishna. That Krishna is going off to the forest, he's stepping on the gravel on the forest path, and his feet are so soft, they're in anxiety thinking about Krishna. But because the subject matter is Krishna, that anxiety is as blissful or more blissful than just the feeling of happiness that one may experience. In the material world, Sadness and happiness, they're all sad. You go to an amusement park and here are all these dolts trying to be happy by shooting plastic ducks or vomiting on a ferret, what do they call those? Roller coaster. This is happiness. Winning the California lottery. Ah! It's sad to see what people are doing in the name of happiness. They think it's happiness. But actually, it becomes sadness for them also. I won the lottery. I went to the amusement park. I did this. I did that. Still, I'm not happy. So the material world, happiness and misery, they're both misery. And in the spiritual world, happiness and misery, they're both happiness. It requires some transcendental understanding. But it's a fact that in the spiritual world, there are rich varieties of transcendental experience which are all ecstatically joyful in connection with Krishna. Yes? Am I suggesting that when one becomes a devotee, there's no more need for antidepressants and medicine and so on? Well, of course, I'm not a qualified medical person, so I'm not going to sit here and prescribe. On the other hand, most of that stuff is junk and not necessary. In some extreme case, someone may need to take some medicine just to stay a little bit on even keel so that he can function long enough to read Bhagavad Gita and learn how to chant Hare Krishna. But it's not that we need to be medicated to be happy. That what the world needs is a better form of whatever the latest antidepressant is. I'm not familiar with them. The whole America is taking antidepressants and still they're depressed. Somebody should make a mass class action lawsuit. You're selling all these antidepressants and America's depressed. We have practical experience in our Krishna consciousness movement. Some of the craziest people have joined this movement and completely transformed. People who were, I could cite you cases of people who were, we probably all know one case or another, somebody who was catatonic, somebody who was grandly dysfunctional, someone who was really gone. And if that person seriously takes to chanting Hare Krishna, all those problems can be solved. We've seen it practically. So yes, we're suggesting that America doesn't need to look for a better antidepressant or a better depressant or a better effervescent or whatever it is that they think is going to... America needs to look for Krishna. And when they find Krishna, they'll have no need of anything else. Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Krishna is everything.
Mm. I think it was in 75, there was a psychologist who were here who wanted to study the devotees, and the devotee was presenting to the prophet, and he wanted to show that these Hare Krishna people are all sane and not insane like some people think. The prophet said, even if you think they are insane, if they stick to the process, that's good, then they're perfect. Even if you can show that they are insane, it doesn't matter as long as they stick to the chain.
Some psychologist was going to study the devotees to see, show, demonstrate that actually they're sane. Prabhupada said, sane or insane? If they take to the process, they become sane. It took me many years till I realized, you know, because I always had the mentality when I was younger of being, you know, like a young person, and everybody else was like an older person. And as I grew up, I suppose you'd say, I started meeting these people who were sophisticated, educated, well-placed in responsible positions, and seeing that they were nutcases. You know, ought to have been certified as clinical nutcases. You know, and someone is the head of a corporation, someone is a doctor, someone is a lawyer, someone is an important member of our government. Huh? Someone's a psychologist, someone's a college professor, someone's a this, someone's a that, and they're nutcases. Everyone is a nutcase in this material world. Anyone who thinks that he's going to be happy without Krishna is a nutcase. Anyone who thinks that he's going to be happy by satisfying the senses of this body is a nutcase. Because the senses will never be satisfied. And what is he doing? He sees a fire. I've got a fire. I feel a fire in my heart. And how are you going to put out that fire? I'm going to throw petrol on it. I'm going to throw gasoline on it. Am I not a nutcase? The way to satisfy your desires is to feed them. Just do it. Works the other way. The more you go on, it's like the way to satisfy your itch is to scratch it. That's for madmen. And people get credentials and you go to them and pay them $80 an hour. And they say, well, if you're itching, scratch. And scratch and scratch and scratch. And come see me next week. So we say, chant Hare Krishna. And your life will be sublime. All right, we're supposed to stop. We are. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.